The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Back for the final hour of the show at 8:03. The sun is bright and shiny, though in these end of Earth days, global warming takes us down. By the way, historic ice caps. Look it up. It's a cold day. 48 today, 55 tomorrow, 60s off and on throughout the rest of the week. So be more normal November Colorado weather. Do not forget to roll back your clock tonight at bedtime. You get that extra hour of sleep. It is fall back, and very, very important that we do that. I'm getting some emails on my ballot, my Arapahoe County ballot, just real, real quick. CC is absolute vote no. It's a tax increase. They're lying about that in the advertising. Completely lying. It's ridiculous. It is just ridiculous. Do your own homework on that issue if you are unsure. But vote no. It takes away your tax refund, puts more tax money in the government's pocket. No guarantees of where it goes. They lied about this before with Proposition C. And it's ripping away your taxpayer bill of rights. That is the primary goal of this thing. Vote no on CC. DD got an interesting email. I've expressed the fact that on this sports gambling, I'm ambivalent. I'm not a gambler, not a sports gambler. I think people can vote to allow themselves to do bad things. We did that in Colorado with marijuana. I was totally opposed to that. Bad social policy. Wish that the citizens had chosen differently. On DD, I'm pretty ambivalent. I will likely vote yes, because it's just legalizing opportunity for people who want to engage in sports betting to do so. And it's just not a big enough social policy for me to say, hey, I understand why Colorado Christian University, Jeff Hunt, others coming out and saying, no, gambling bad. Yeah, probably so. But it's something that people are doing anyway, for sure. And they're not. They're just going to tax something that they're going to make legal that hasn't been legal in Colorado before and ostensibly use it to protect our water. A lot of conservatives that I know and trust are for it. I'm ambivalent about it. I will probably vote yes, yes on DD. But Kim writes in and said, Randy, I just heard that you're for it. If it passes, it would authorize tax sports betting to fund state water projects. You're justifying the expansion of gambling, which can never be justified, right? Well, I don't know. I don't feel that strongly about gambling. We do have vices in society. Do I object to the casinos? Have I ever been in a casino? Yeah. Have I ever played poker with a group of guys, thrown quarters or dollars on the table? Yes, I have. I mean, does it increase crime? I suppose. I voted no, and I urge you to do so as well. Listen, I can kind of take it or leave it if DD passes. What really kind of nudged me over into the yes category was an editorial that I read from a radical environmentalist who is just scared to death that if we pass Proposition DD, we will be building some dams and stopping up the natural flow of water. That alone was almost enough to push me over the edge to a yes. And on Arapahoe County ballot issue 1A, it is absolute no for me. That's to take more money from tax from homeowners by increasing the mill levy to build a new jail. Lots of revenue pouring in these booming economic times. And for the texter who asked about that final paragraph referring to Article 10, Section 20, they're just saying in order to increase taxes, you have to notify on the ballot people that you are increasing taxes and requesting permission of the voters to do so under Tabor. And so that's what that particular thing is all about. So very excited. We're going to move these segments pretty quickly. So we have a good long final segment with the Wonder Woman super attorney for General Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor to the president, lieutenant general in the U.S. Army, pled guilty to stop a attacks on his son. And Sidney Powell has stepped in to say, wait a minute, this is unfair. He was set up. Information was not properly released to the defense. She prepared an amazing brief that we'll talk about. We'll get her take on the impeachment coup attempt as well. Sidney Powell will join the show here in about a half an hour. But right now I've been talking quite a bit about the impeachment coup effort. We went through the transcript. I want to share some information with you about the star witnesses that the Democrats have been utilizing and leaking about in their star chamber, but have not been to the phones in a while. So let's get that started real quick in this segment with Steve and Arvada. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. My comment was revolving around, you know, your observation of a deep state coup. I think that's really difficult to go against. I mean, there's so much evidence. I'm loath to say this, but the remedy, maybe jail is not good enough for these people, because I don't think if you jail dozens of them that it would stop. You know, you need to figure out a way or a form of punishment that would make this stop, or it's going to continue for at least another 4 years. And I hate to say it, but I think, you know, possibly some of these people should be looking at the death penalty. Just from the stuff that we know, I think that they should be considered for the death penalty. What about all the stuff we don't know?
Well,
I'm sorry, it's sedition. It's not treason because it's not helping a foreign power, but it's seditious, and it's the overthrow and the destabilization of the government. And the harm, we don't know. We could get whacked by a terrorist attack. We could get all kinds of harm could be happening to the country right now that we're not even aware of, because our attention and the attention of our elected and non-elected officials is being distracted by a hoax. So what do you think of that, Randy?
You know, I'm a defense lawyer. I support the death penalty in extreme circumstances. Sedition, the attempt to overthrow a government. I think federal prison would be a very good place for these deep staters, and would send the necessary message. I think part of the reason that we've got such an aggressive push now for the coup, for the impeachment effort, the impeachment inquiry, is because they know that Barr and Huber and Durham are doing their job, and that information is going to be coming out, and that people are actually going to be charged. And I think that would send a very chilling message to these folks who have felt so secure inside the Obama, you know, all the Obama carryovers and the deep state massive machine inside our federal government. I think the message would be sent. I'm not willing to say people should be executed.
Well, you know, I like I said, I'm loath to go there, but I'm not sure that would detract or deter the coup, and might accelerate it, actually. I don't know. You know, I'm just looking in. I'm pulling the future up really close.
Sure.
And seeing what the end game is. And, you know, look at what they've done so far.
That's incredible.
It is something that we've never seen in our lifetime. And I'm not one of these people that subscribes to the delusion that this would ruin our country. We were much, much stronger after the Civil War, became an international superpower in the century after our Civil War. And, you know, if it takes another Civil War to get this country right, then that just might have to be the medicine that we have to take. I hope not. I hope not. But I think we're kind of all whistling past the graveyard on that one. I think the wheels are beginning to turn, and it might get very, very ugly very, very soon. And, you know,
well, Steve, you've made your point well. I'm going to comment on it off air. I thank you for the call very much. I want to get to all these calls in this segment. I think we're in a soft civil war as it is. We are definitely in a social civil war. The battle lines have been drawn. Families are breaking up over political differences. The left is using violence and shouting down and bullhorns to try and silence the other side. All of that is going on. Donald Trump is one of the reasons they have to try so hard to take him out is because he is exposing the hypocrisy, exposing the violence, exposing the lack of success. Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff spending all this time on the impeachment coup attempt. And meanwhile, their own home districts suffer with needles and excrement on the sidewalks and homeless encampments. And the USMC, the Mexico-Canada trade agreement with the U.S., sitting there ready to pass that would just add additional fuel to this roaring economy and could be passed in a moment. It would be a bipartisan bill that would be passed in a moment, and they won't do it because of the victory it would provide to Donald Trump. And to Steve's point about sedition and the penalty, executing people who are involved in these coup attempts, we're not there, and I wouldn't advocate going there. If we wind up in some kind of a actual physical civil war, extreme measures. But right now we do have Attorney General Barr. We do have control of the investigatory state right now. I believe in Attorney General Barr. Man, that speech he gave on the importance of religion to Western civilization, American society, was so powerful. And he's just quietly doing his job, always highly thought of until he was appointed by Donald Trump. And now part of this whole coup impeachment effort by the Democrats is to be able to put up the message when the truth starts to come out on the deep staters, to be able to put up the message that, well, these people are just acting as an arm of President Trump. They're trying to take away from the impeachment efforts, et cetera, et cetera. And I find that very, very troubling. But I also believe it's going to be exposed. We are a year away from this election. I went through the transcript last hour. You can interpret what you wish. You can read Donald Trump's mind. You can ignore the fact that Ukraine did not know that their aid was even under discussion for being withheld. You can ignore the fact that the aid was actually released. And so you can decide that, well, Donald Trump was trying to strong arm this government. It's still not an impeachable offense. It's still no high crime and misdemeanor. You'll hear the argument, well, he was asking China to investigate the Bidens. He wasn't asking other countries, foreign countries, to investigate our citizens. Well, hell yeah, if there is corruption occurring in these other countries by former elected officials, Vice President of the United States, his son. Now, Donald Trump was just poking the media. He was just poking the left. Although I'm sure if there was actual evidence released of Hunter Biden with corruption or crime or whatever in any foreign country, yeah, I'd be glad to see it. I got no problem with it at all. All of this misbehavior has been covered up for years. This did not even make the mainstream media news. I understand. I will transmit this information to Vladimir Putin. That was the president of Russia saying that to Obama. After Obama, off mic, caught with his pants down, said, it's my last election, I'll have more flexibility afterward. No missile defense. Crimea taken over by Putin. Not a word. So don't give these hypocrites your time, your attention. Don't get worked up because, you know, certain people don't like the way this president approaches the enemy, the opposition, the constant nonstop attacks on his presidency since before he was even elected. Do you remember, have you seen this clip of the, all the way back in November, George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning Good Morning America, November of 2016, talked about, you know, if Donald Trump takes the risk of going to trial and he's convicted, that could be seen as impeachable offense. I think that was about taxes or something. Legal woes following the president into the White House. In December, on MSNBC, briefly, they all agreed that if Trump were caught on a video camera snorting cocaine in the White House, maybe with one of the children, there was at least a chance he'd be impeached, but only a slight chance. January, Chuck Todd, Meet the Depressed. If he's not a legitimately elected president in your mind, there are tasks that Congress has. There are tools that Congress has available to them. And it goes on month after month after month. Impeachment, 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 with every new thing that came up. Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff coming out. This was a prayerful decision. This is something that we are very reluctant to do. They're such hypocrites. They're such liars. Joe Biden bragging about quid pro quo. No $1 billion in badly needed aid unless you take the prosecutor who's on my son's tail out. And they did it. Son of a bitch, he said at the end of that clip. Ignore these hypocrites. Remind the world that we're living in some of the greatest times we've ever seen in America, economically, for all demographics, for all different groups that the left wants to cut us up into, the blacks, the whites, the men, the women, the bisexual, the homosexual, the heterosexual. It was just outrageous. We are doing so well right now under the leadership of this president, and they can't stand it because they know they can't beat it in 2020. All right, Jake is driving. Let's squeeze him in before this next break real quick. Jake, welcome.
Jack.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, it's not Jake, it's Jack.
Got it.
All righty. Randy, I don't know if I got a good connection.
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead. Yep, lay it on us.
Okay. Here's this whole thrust of this impeachment thing. You see how Romney and Scaramucci have turned 100% to try to damage Donald Trump as much as he can?
Sure.
And he's aware of that? Okay. There's a third player who's a deep stater, who's the most important person in this whole impeachment process, and that's John Roberts. John Roberts knows that Donald Trump is on to him, and Donald Trump knows what Roberts is up to. And they're hoping that they can get this thing because Roberts is going to preside over the impeachment trial if they don't shut it down in the Senate before it becomes formal. But they're counting on him to come up with another outrageous ruling like they did in the Obamacare thing somehow or other to get rid of Donald Trump. And that's what this is all heading for. The hatchet man is going to be John Roberts. Now, I know you haven't heard that before, but how many times have I been wrong?
Well, you're not wrong often, Jack. There's no doubt about that. And I've read some articles on why John Roberts should recuse himself from presiding over this particular proceeding. But do you really think even having a biased judge, if in fact that's what John Roberts turns out to be, would be enough to get 67 senators, flip enough Republicans to get 67 senators and actually impeach?
No, but here's the thing. They have to use the entire Senate. They can't use part of it, and they have to kill it before it gets to that point. Because they reversed the Alcee Hastings impeachment because they only used a portion of the Senate on the decision. They didn't use the whole Senate. And then he's basically back into the House, the U.S. House in Florida, and he's on one of the panels that's reviewing this impeachment process over Donald Trump. And he was impeached with 15 different counts.
It is extraordinary the lengths that they're willing to go to. And so far, the president has stood up against it. The boomerang is swinging back around. When the people of America get a taste of the information that they're going to be exposed to from the Barr and Huber and Durham investigations, do you think that the sentiment will change enough that maybe it never gets to the Senate?
They better hit it hard and hit it quick.
All right, Jack. Thank you so much, man. Have a great weekend. All right, let's squeeze in one more call from Wally in Littleton. Welcome.
How are you, Randy?
Doing well, Wally.
So on 1A, I'm glad to hear you speaking out against it. I was listening to another station yesterday morning, that had an interview with one of our Arapahoe County commissioners and the sheriff, and you would have thought they were in tears over this thing and how badly that they needed it. And frankly, I agree with you with all the building that's going on. And I mean, I don't know how much your property taxes went up last year, but I had a very significant increase. And they just need to learn to use what they've got. I mean, they've had increased revenues coming in and stuff. What are they doing with it? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to. I think I've read that the your property taxes would go up about 18% if 1A passes.
I don't remember the percentages, but on principle and just in general, given the amount of revenue that's available to these people in these booming times, I'm a strong no on that. Wally, I agree with you, and I hope the rest of Arapahoe County joins with us in voting no on that horrible, horrible idea.
You too.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
You bet. We're going to take our break right now, keep it short on the other side, so we have a nice, long stretch with Sidney Powell, the attorney for General Michael Flynn. Stay with us on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back at 8:30. Randy Corcoran here. So good to have you along. I'm still not great at managing the clock. So just a couple things I want to tell you. Boy, don't forget, you can get free tickets while they last to the amazing new movie. I haven't seen it yet, just heard so much about it. No Safe Spaces, starring 710's Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla. Free tickets are available right now while supplies last at 710KNUS.com, because our friends at Colorado Flat Fee Realty have purchased an entire theater's worth. It's amazing. So check it out, 710KNUS.com, courtesy of Colorado Flat Fee Realty. Pay less, keep more, save thousands online at ColoradoFlatFeeRealty.com. So we spent a lot of time talking about the transcript and the motivation behind the players attempting this presidential coup. We did not get into the background of William Taylor, his connections to EEF, the East Europe Foundation, which has a strong partnership with Open Cities Association, which is funded by Open Governments Partnership, which gets lots of money from George Soros. We can dig into that more next week, talk about the whistleblower, Eric Ciaramella, if this is in fact who it turns out to be, his prior leaking, his motivation to lie. All of those things will be on the table next week on this show, if it still even matters by then. But in order to spend a good, solid segment with Wonder Woman attorney Sidney Powell, the attorney for General Michael Flynn, we're going to take our final break of this show right now. And when we return, we'll be joined by Sidney Powell. Stay with us on 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone, or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710knus.com. Message and data rates apply. Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Welcome back. Final segment. Do not forget to turn in your ballot before Tuesday. So very important these off-year elections are. Of course, then it's the big run-up to 2020, and so much to talk about. We will pick up our opposition to this impeachment coup attempt next week on the show and any of the fill-in I do around here. But, boy, we've got a great guest standing in the wings. And before we go to her, I just want to remind you, Stephen Tubbs, Monday, 4 to 6, will have the father of Highlands Ranch STEM School shooter hero, Kendrick Castillo, in studio from 4 to 6. John Castillo will be with us. Kendrick is the young man who gave up his life charging at the high school shooter and saving other students in the process. It is not to be missed radio. But right now, so excited to bring on Sidney Powell. Haven't talked to her in some time. And Sidney, I know how incredibly busy you are, and you've been doing some national interviews. We really appreciate you taking some time and some of your Saturday to talk to us here in Denver this morning. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Better believe it. Of course, Sidney is a federal appeals attorney, 500-plus federal appeals She has taken on the mission of trying to unpack what happened to Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, briefly the National Security Advisor to President Trump. And Sydney, before we jump in, we've spent most of today's show talking about the impeachment slash coup attempt against the President of the United States. And I had hoped to get to exposing some of the biases and some of the credibility problems that these Democrat star witnesses have on the impeachment side, but didn't really get to that. But I did really unpack and dig into the transcript of the phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky. As a federal appeals attorney, very experienced, very deeply, have you read that transcript? And what was your impression of that conversation?
I have not read the whole transcript, but I have listened to a large part of it. It was a perfectly lawful conversation. The entire impeachment thing is just part of the insurance policy. It's part of everything they started even before he was elected. It's the most appalling abuse of power the whole thing has been. It's unprecedented in our lifetimes. You know, we've always tried to work with presidents of opposing parties throughout our history, and we've never seen anything like this before. And here he's accomplished more in 2 or 3 years than prior presidents put together.
I thought it was really important. It was funny, of course, but it was really important that Donald Trump brought out last night that 90 minutes after he was sworn in as President of the United States, that it began, not 90, 19 minutes after he took the oath of office, the Washington Post ran a story about the potential impeachment of the new President of the United States. I mean, this has been a mantra that they've been banging on, a drum that they've been banging on since the day he took the office. And
it's really disgusting. There's no basis for it whatsoever. And it won't stand up. I mean, they can go do whatever it is they're going to do, but it won't stand up in court because they've gone about it completely wrong. The process is ridiculous, and there's no high crime or misdemeanor, no matter what they say or do.
Yeah, you know, I actually read some of the text of the transcript on the air, and even if you infer into the president's mind, even though he didn't say it, there was no actual quid pro quo, unlike quid pro quo Joe's leveraging $1 billion in Ukraine aid to get a prosecutor off of his son's back. There was no Obama knee-to-knee with the president of Russia saying, you know, I'll have more flexibility after my election. Please convey this to Vladimir. And the president saying that he would. And then all of a sudden, no missile defense to keep Ukraine safe, and Putin moves in and takes over Crimea. None of those things occurred. But even if you infer into the president's mind that he was trying to somehow strong-arm this new president, there is no high crime and misdemeanor. Presidents and countries use their financial aid and assistance to leverage decisions all the time.
Right. The issue is not a quid pro quo. Those happen all the time, just like you said. The issue is what it's for, whether it's for something lawful or unlawful, and there's nothing unlawful about asking for an investigation. If there were, we would never have had the Mueller investigation. We'd have to impeach every Democrat that supported the Mueller investigation. I mean, and that was a gross abuse of power, but still, you know, having an investigation is not an unlawful thing.
Yeah, somehow because someone decides to run for president 2 years after an actual quid pro quo in designed to protect your own son, who has very questionable dealings in China and Ukraine, doesn't somehow immunize you don't get immunized from being investigated just because you're now running for office. That doesn't create an immovable object that can't be overcome by just simply investigating the facts.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you have been focused on something so incredibly important, and I can't imagine anybody not knowing the general background with regard to General Michael Flynn and the plea that he entered when they were threatening to investigate his son. But just we've got a good 10 minutes or so with you, so would you go ahead and just kind of outline the issues as you see them in your representation of Michael Flynn right now?
Well, I just filed a brief last week. We got it unsealed, I think, Thursday, that lays it all out. I would encourage everyone to read it. It's available on my website at sidneypowell.com, S-I-D-N-E-Y-P-O-W-E-L-L. We, in the process of representing him and doing a lot of research, putting pieces together from the few things the government has given us as exculpatory information, which they are legally, ethically, and constitutionally required to provide to the defense. Just an incredible scenario where the Department of Justice and FBI literally set him up. There was a text message that we found that the government had not produced from Strzok to Page on January 10, 2017. This is before the inauguration, when the story broke in the news about the Steele dossier being briefed to President Trump. And that's what gave it legs. And, of course, Comey knew that. That's why they went to brief the president-elect about it, so it would provide a news hook for CNN and BuzzFeed and everybody to run with the story. So Strzok sends Page a text message saying, there's a ton more out now. Bill and I are sitting here talking about it, and we think it's a pretext to go interview some people. They then have messages and admit that Strzok met with McCabe many times in the next 13 days to discuss whether, when, and how to interview General Flynn. They have a small group meeting of the upper echelon of the FBI on January 23rd to strategize about how to interview him, keeping him unguarded, relaxed, without confronting him directly if he doesn't remember something. They decided they might use words that he had used to try to refresh his recollection, just say, do you remember anything about a tit-for-tat or whatever? And if he still denied it, they would not confront him directly with the transcript or anything like that. So they literally planned to keep him unaware of the fact he was under a criminal investigation, that they were there to create a false statement narrative, something they could prosecute him on later, because nobody's going to remember all the details of one of 50 million conversations they had coming into a new administration 3 weeks earlier. I mean, I was sitting there thinking about it and remembering the hearing I was in with Judge Sullivan just a couple of weeks earlier. I couldn't give you two or three sentences out of that hearing. I would go back to look at the transcript to even know what I said. And that's true of every oral argument I do. And we just can't remember in the detail that the FBI could then use against you as a false statement. And that's exactly what happened. And the hideous thing is they knew exactly what he had said in those conversations. There was absolutely no reason to interview him about any of it because they had the recordings of the calls themselves and transcripts of them. So it was a complete and total setup.
Talking with
remarkably, then the agents even leave the interview realizing he was telling them the truth, or at least believed he was.
Yeah.
They saw no signs of deception.
They said so.
Somehow it becomes a false statement case. Well, one of the other things we realized is that there were dramatic changes in the 302, the FBI report of interview, the night of February 10. That just happens to be the night. Now, usually a 302 is done immediately. One of the things we've also identified is that they've never produced the original 302. It does not leave the system, so they're hiding that. Hoping to goodness Judge Sullivan makes them produce that as well as the audit trail of all the changes made to the 302. There's just so much information we don't have.
It's incredible, Sidney. Let me step in and just reset. We're talking to Sidney Powell, attorney for Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. She's filed this brief. It's 161 pages. I've retweeted her tweet that links to this thing. But for anybody who's seriously interested in reading it, don't be intimidated. A lot of those pages are exhibits, which are fascinating themselves. The actual brief itself is 33 pages. It is not a complex or complicated read, but it is filled with incredible information that ties together with this coup attempt against the president, because it gives you such an inside look at to how freely the deep state has been working to advance their own agenda, regardless of whether that agenda lined up with the currently elected president of the United States.
And just lying their faces off the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. You've got a timeline of key events in here. You also included as one of your exhibits excerpts from the book Crossfire Hurricane, which I have not read, but I've heard it talked about quite a bit. What was important from what was exposed in Crossfire Hurricane that you thought was important to your argument for General Flynn?
Well, it was written by Josh Campbell, who was Comey's assistant. And in it, he says that when the issue came up of the longstanding DOJ protocols for how to go about interviewing anyone in the White House, Comey's response to it was, screw it. I'm just going to send the agents over to interview him. There's so much chaos over there, nobody will catch it. And, of course, he bragged about that on television, but he didn't tell us the screw it part. So Josh Campbell added that color for us. I would guess the word might have been a little more obscene than that. But anyway, that's the way he reported it. So that's what we used that excerpt for.
I played the first few seconds of this clip several times during the show. I want you to hear it and then just give your thoughts in light of everything that you are uncovering about the deep state.
But there is something unique. You'd have to agree that now the impeachment inquiry is underway, sparked by a complaint from someone within the intelligence community. It feeds the president's concern and often used term about a deep state. Being there to take him out.
Thank God for the deep state.
A former director and assistant director of the CIA. Thank God for the deep state. They're not even hiding anymore. They're trying to change the public's perception of who they are and why they're there and what they're doing.
John Brennan is one of the most corrupt, disgusting, vile people that ever held government office. I think all roads are going to lead back to Brennan's orchestration of this entire thing. I think he is the one that worked with the people overseas to start the whole false narrative and create the Russia collusion hoax that then became the obstruction hoax that is now the Ukraine hoax.
It's, people who don't understand who John Brennan is should go back and do some research about how proud he was of voting for a Communist Party candidate, earlier in his career. He is unabashed in what he truly believes and who he is, if people do a little bit of homework. We've only got about 2 or 3 minutes left with you, Sydney. I should have tried to book you for a couple of segments, but I'm so grateful for your time. You've got a very important book out there that I think there's been a resurgence of interest in because of the work you're doing on behalf of General Flynn. Tell us what that is, how people can get it, and why it's so important to get in light of the impeachment / coup attempt and your efforts on behalf of the general.
You can get it at licensedtolie.com. It's called Licensed to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. I self-published it back in 2014 because of the egregious prosecutorial misconduct I saw by a key group of prosecutors on the Enron task force that just broke all the rules to get convictions by any means. And then I traced their work through several cases and then watched them rise to the highest positions of power, like General Counsel Deputy Director of the FBI, Andrew Weissman, who then winds up on Mueller's, actually running the Mueller investigation, because it was obvious when Mr. Mueller testified he couldn't have been running anything. and Lisa Monaco, who became Obama's longest-serving counterterrorism advisor, Catherine Rumler, who became his White House counsel, just on and on, all these people punched their tickets to multi-million-dollar salaries in international law firms and the highest positions in government, and they were literally willing to do the end justified the means.
And as all of this information comes out, as the Barr and Durham and Huber investigations and reports are presented to the American people, your book, the work you're doing for General Flynn, it's all going to establish a pattern of conduct, a covert government kind of running itself, regardless of, you know, who the people elected or what the current president is trying to do. The timing could not be better for November 2020. We've only got about 20 seconds, but is there any way that folks that want to help you in your defense of General Flynn, is there a way to contribute or help out there?
Yes, it's www.MikeFlynnDefenseFund.org.
Mike
and
Flynn.
Contributions from Americans are most welcome.
God bless you, Sydney. I love what you're doing, and I know it was tough to squeeze out the time today. We appreciate it, and we'll be watching very, very carefully. Take care.
Thank you.
Better
Bye-bye.
Believe it. Sydney Powell, unbelievable. Thank God for the deep state. The deep state says, I say thank God for President Donald J. Trump. That's it. Music's here. Craig Silverman's show is next. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, God loves you, and so do I.